We're on Tomer Dvora, we're on page Yud Zayin, Yashuv Yirachamenu. We're up to the seventh attribute of the Ribon Shom. Hine ena kadosh baruch hu mitnehag kemidat basar v'adam. Hashem does not behave the way we, flesh and blood, behave. Shein michiso chaviro, that when a person has been angered by a friend, kshu mitratze imo, when they make peace again, mitratze me'at lo ka'ava kodemet. So then the nature of man is, as they say, the scar stays. That even if you make peace, you're not back to where you were earlier in the relationship. But with Hashem, it's the other way around. Let's say a person has done something wrong, and then he does tshuvah. Then he makes it to a much greater level. His connection to the Ribon Shel Olam is even greater. V'hainu, and that's what the Gemara teaches us in Tractate Brachos and Sanhedrin. B'makom shebalei teshuva umedim en tzadikim gemurim yicholim la'amod. The place where Baal Tshuva stands is a place where a tzaddik, even if he's complete, he can't get that high. V'atam, and the logic behind it is as follows. Kidfirshu b'perek haboneh, the Talmud in Tractate Menachos tells us the following. It tells us about the letter He. The Talmud says about the letter He, binyan He, Lama yasuya kach sadra? Why is it that the letter He has an opening on the bottom as though it's an anit room? You have this room that leads into the whole house, right? So the He, if you look at it downward, so the He has this opening on the bottom as though it's leading somewhere. Where is it leading? Downward. To tell you, shekol harotze latzet meolamo yetze. The potential in the world, there's always a potential for a drop. If a person wants to, he can go down. No one's going to stop him. We say, Eile toledot ha-shamayim va'aretz behi ba-re'am. The verse says, this is the story of the heavens and earth as they were built. Our sages said the word behi ba-re'am can be read as behi ba-re'am. Hashem created the heavens and earth with the letter He. So in the Hebrew alphabet, we're taught that the letters each represent different forces in the world. We discussed this a little bit earlier in the week. Aleph Bet, teaching Alpha Beta, Gimel Dalit, Gomel Dalim. We discussed that each letter represents a different idea. Letters represent concepts. And the letter, Hashem created the world with the He, that represents another concept. What does that represent? To tell us, just like the He is open to the bottom, Hashem created a world where there's an opening, and if a person wants to go in the direction of evil, if a person wants to go in the direction of transgression, there's an opening. Hashem doesn't stop him. And it's more than that. There is nothing we do in this world that doesn't have potential for evil. You'd think, if I'm a doctor, so I'm great. No, maybe you're going to recommend surgery for people that they don't need. You'd think, I'm a caregiver, but I deal with charity, right? And even in the charity, there's a way of doing it that'll hurt people. There's a way of doing it that'll benefit people. The Talmud says that when we speak about the mitzvah of kibud aveim, honoring one's parents. So you have a guy who tells his father, Dad, you got to work. And he says it nicely, but he makes him work. But it's in the father's benefit. He's going to keep working. He's going to stay healthy. Or the government is coming and taking anyone who's not working into the draft. So if he's not working, he'll be drafted and he'll die. He can't handle the war. So the son makes him work. He says, Dad, you got to get out of bed. The government inspectors are coming. If they see you working, they won't take you. He's saving his father's life. So sometimes the very action we do can seem cruel, but really it's kind. And sometimes it can seem kind, but really it's cruel. It goes in both directions. So in everything we do, Hashem has given us potential in two directions. It's just like the hay, that anit room where there's room to go further. It's not as though there's a fence. If a person wants to do what's wrong, it's open. No one stops him. If a person wants to leave this world, the spirituality, the value, the essence of the world, there are so many ways to do it. There's no direction you could look at which doesn't have this aspect. A person puts on a talis in the morning, he could throw the strings back and smack the guy behind him in the face. But I'm doing it with kavanah. A person could stand and daven in shul and annoy everyone around him. But I'm davening and I'm connecting to the Ribon Shel Olam and I'm ignoring everyone around me. In everything we do, we have potential to do it wrong. We also have, in everything we do, potential to do good. But the hey represents that idea. Don't assume, people think, because I'm doing charity, I'm a good person. Maybe. And maybe you're leaving the house and you're leaving your wife stranded and you're not raising your kids. And it's very nice that you're out volunteering, but who's paying the bill for that? So in everything we do, we have to think and ask ourselves, is this right? It's not enough that it's a mitzvah. Am I doing it in a manner that's correct? Sometimes we get carried away, but I'm doing a mitzvah. I want to get up to daven vasikin. I'm getting up nice and early, but I'm going to wake up my roommates as I do that. But I'm doing a mitzvah. But who said I'm entitled to do that? Who said I'm entitled to do it that way? So we can't be small-minded. We can't just look at something and say it's a mitzvah. We have to look at the broader repercussions and the manner in which we perform it. That's what the letter hey represents. You have to be careful in what you do that it doesn't have negative effects as well. V'hikshu, and the Talmud asks, u'ladru behai, when a person does tshuva, that's why the left leg of the hay is not connected to the roof, to tell you you could always climb back in. If you've fallen out, don't assume you're finished. So the Talmud asks, why don't you just climb back in the same way you fell out? Why do I need another opening? Answers the Gemara, lo mistaya milta, it doesn't really work that way. It's not successful. It's not as easy to climb back in as it was to fall out. What the sages meant with this, a person can't say, you know, I know I've always been online and doing improper things, so now all I have to do is shut the computer and I won't do what's wrong with it. That might work for someone else. But if you've already fallen to that temptation, you have a problem. A person says, I've had an issue with alcohol. So I'll only take one cup at Kiddush, only one cup of wine, and I'll only take four cups at the Seder. Not true. Once a person has developed a weakness, so then they can't behave the way everyone else behaves. They have to figure out how to protect themselves not to fall again. It's not enough that a person says, I'm only going to drink one cup in Kiddush. No, then make it grape juice, don't make it wine. Mipnei shatzadikim shelo chatu, when you look at someone who has not fallen there, Gadel ma'at yaspik alehim. So then a small offense is enough. You tell yourself, I'm drinking one cup at Kiddush. I'm fine. That's fine. But when someone has transgressed, and now he's doing tshuva, lo yaspik lo gadel ma'at, then the regular fence isn't enough for him. Ela tzich lagdir atzmo kama gedarim kashim. He has to put up many fences. Mipnei shoto gadel ma'at kfar nifratz pam achat, because he's already broken down the first fence. If you come close, it's going to be so easy to cross over there. The person has to be so careful. Take an example. A guy knocks on my door one day and he says, hi, I'm new to Israel. Okay, welcome. He says, what do I do? As I was waiting for the plane, there was a delay of 3 hours. And while I was waiting in the airport, I went into Burger King and I bought a cheeseburger. And I just forgot that it's not kosher. I'm so used to eating cheeseburgers. But I've been eating kosher for 4 months. And now I forgot I ate a cheeseburger. What am I supposed to do now? Ah, so for the regular person, it's enough to say, I don't buy cheeseburgers. I don't go into Burger King. But maybe this guy has to figure out another reminder so that he doesn't make that mistake again. Hey, it's not enough for him to say that. He has to tell himself, I won't walk within 4 footsteps of a place that sells cheeseburgers. Because he knows he's fallen, he's forgotten. If he makes himself one more fence, he says, when I see a place that sells cheeseburgers, I'll cross the street. I won't be on that side of the street. So he'll ask me, halacha, do I have to do that? Can't I just walk next to it? You could. But the guy who sees that's not enough for him, he can't. He has to make a decision. I cross the street when I see that. That's what the hay represents. You can't climb back in the way you fell out. You got to climb a much more arduous journey. You have to climb all the way up, so to speak, up that leg of the hay to climb back in that thin entrance. You got to work really hard to close off those breaches that one has made in the fence. This is also true with regards to girls. People who have a history and they know that they've fallen in this area, so then they have to be a little bit more careful. A person will ask me, is it terrible that I have girlfriends on my Facebook? I don't think it's so nice, but it might not be so terrible. But if a person says, yeah, but I have a history with these girls, so then maybe it's even more important that a person says, hey, you guys are nice people, but it's really not right for me to continue this. I got to take a few steps back because I know how easily I take a few steps forward in the wrong direction. This is the way a person does tshuva. A person looks at life and looks realistically. Where do I fall? How do I avoid it? We're coming to the break now, right? In 2 weeks' time, you guys are going to be off. And you're going to be off for 20 days. Now, during that time, a person can let himself unravel. Everything he's built in the first month of the Machon can unravel. That can happen. A person should think in advance how to ensure that doesn't happen. If it's important for me to put on tefillin every morning, then I'm going to think, how do I ensure I put on tefillin? Ah, I might forget and run out to catch a bus, and maybe the tefillin bag should be placed on top of my shoes. I can't put on my shoes without remembering, hey, I got to put on tefillin this morning. If things are important to me, I got to find the way to overcome my weakness. If I fall in somewhere, I got to think, how do I ensure I don't fall again? And that's the reason why, where about tshuva stands, even the complete tzaddik, he can't stand there. Because about tshuva had to work much harder. He didn't enter the same entrance as a tzaddik, but rather the person worked so hard and climbed to the upper entrance. A person has to really take control of himself, and that's difficult. And so they took so many more steps back than a righteous person to stay away from transgression. That's why they climb up to that level called Hey. The Baal Tshuva has a special room called the fifth room in Gan Eden. That's like the roof of the Hay. The Tzadikim and the Tzadikim are only bepetach Hay, bechnisat achsadra. They're like at the entrance. We had a student here who was a professional thief. He told me he stole millions. Millions. But he wasn't a thief that broke into people's houses. He was a thief that could con people into betting with him, and he would always win the bet. And he was a brilliant con artist. He is a brilliant con artist. Brilliant, brilliant. He told me, I could convince you that you could win, and you will see that you will win the first two times until you bet enough that it's worthwhile for me to win, and I'll win. So I said, okay, I take the challenge. So we tried it once. He showed me one trick. He took a box of cigarettes. He laid it on his side. He said, now you lift it straight up, and if you could get it to stand straight six times in a row, then I'll give you 100 shekel. Seems easy, right? Try it. I try once, twice, thrice. Boom, it stands. Okay. So I do it once, I do it twice, I do it three, I do it four. I hit the fifth time, it falls over. Why? Because there's a trick with cigarette boxes, the way the cellophane is wrapped underneath, that you could get it positioned in a way that you won't be able to get it to stand. So he let me get it right the four times, and on the fifth time, he maneuvered it a drop just so that that piece of cellophane would be there. When I lift the cigarette box, seems simple, right? Lifting a cigarette box from its side to standing straight up. What's so hard? It couldn't. I didn't know that. I thought, gee, I almost made it, right? So I didn't get the 100 shekel from him. But this guy is such a tzaddik. He did such a tshuva on his, on everything that he ever did, that they wanted to do something here in the Machon, a little trick, to play a trick on a roommate. Just, they said, let's play a trick on the roommate. His bed is usually on this side of the room, and in honor of the month of Adar, in honor of Purim, he's going to walk into the room and he'll find his bed on the other side of the room. And the guy went ballistic. He said, how could you touch his bed without his permission? So I said to him, Jack, I'll make up the name, it's not Jack. I said, Jack, take it easy. He said, it's dishonest. I said, what do you mean it's dishonest? What's the big deal? He said, he left his bed there. He's going to come back and find it on the other side. That's dishonest. That's not fair to the guy. I said, it's a joke. He said, do a joke in something that's not dishonest. His roommates brought him to me because his roommates were ticked. Like, why is he making such a big deal? Why? Because he worked so hard on honesty. He worked so hard to do tshuva for his history, that when they wanted to do a small prank, it was in honor of Purim, they wanted to trick a roommate. Oh, you walk into the room. Do you really get so annoyed if your bed is on the other side of the room? He said, no way. And he couldn't understand that people didn't see it like him. In his tshuva, he developed that sensitivity. He couldn't fathom why a yeshiva guy would agree to do something that's slightly, ever so slightly dishonest. He went ballistic. Rav Moshe Cordovero says, tshuva brings a person to a greater sensitivity. It took me a while to understand what he wanted from them. I didn't understand what he wanted. Rav Moshe Cordovero says, when you do tshuva, you got to work harder, but you end up greater. You end up on a higher level. You end up with a greater sensitivity. So when Hashem reconnects with the person, they're not back where they started. Their connection is on a greater level. When a person's done tshuva, his connection to Hashem is on a greater level than it was initially. Tshuva doesn't just fix what we did wrong. It propels us forward in the relationship. That's what this verse says. Yosif rachamim Yisrael v'itaknem v'ikavim yoter. We will do our part in tshuva, and Hashem will bring us even closer. And that's how a person has to behave with his friend. A person shouldn't hold on to his anger because of what happened in the past. So there's a history, so the guy did something wrong. When a person sees that his friend seeks out his love, his friend wants a connection with him, a person should say, we'll have an even better connection. Person should say, just like a Baal Tshuva is on the higher level than a Tzaddik, so too we should be on a higher level. And a person should bring him close, the essence of closeness. More so than people who have never done anything wrong to him, this person should be on a higher level. Now this, by the way, is true in marriage also. There are two approaches in marriage. Two approaches in relationships, two approaches in marriage. One approach says, I'm upset. And if the other person makes amends, there's still going to be scars. The price is still there. And the other approach says, we're all human. And if the other person did something wrong, I've also done things that are wrong. And now, let's build the relationship. We'll cross this hurdle and our relationship will be stronger for it. The natural approach is the first approach. The natural approach, a person says, come on, we paid a price for it. The guy who begged his wife to seatbelt the kids, begged her, and she constantly forgot, and then she was in an accident, and they lost a child. So now the guy says, how could I stay married to her? What do you want from me? Every day I'm going to have to look at the facts, and the facts are that there's one child that could have been saved, and she did not seatbelt him. So you look at that and say, he has a point. And the answer is, you could always have a point to hold a grudge. Or you could say, we're human, I also make mistakes, and I pray that the repercussions of my mistakes shouldn't be lethal. But I also make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Can I look beyond that? Can I allow a person to come back? Can I bring our relationship back to where it should have been? I should. Ah, but that takes greatness. And in life, we pay real prices for other people's failures. I gave a sharp example, but in life, there are sharp examples. We do pay real prices. We lose real friends. We lose real relationships. People lose their jobs because their wife said a comment to the boss's wife. People pay real prices for their partner's failings. And their failings, but we also have failings. Rav Moshe Cordovero tells us the Ribbono Shel Olam allows us to build a connection that's even greater. We have to have that approach. The other person can make amends, and we can be not only back where we were, our connection can be even greater. But that takes greatness, and that's what we try to build.